Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. You know we have an app, American Family Radio app, for your smartphone. Or if you got a dumb phone, we can't help you, people. I'm sorry. Ray, if somebody's got a dumb phone in this day and age, they need to upgrade.
Yeah, you need to get yourself Android,
yes.
Apple.
You're going to be left
Apple
behind.
Yeah.
Huh?
Dumb phone would be like one of those flip phones from 15, 20 years ago.
Well, some people have those, and if you criticize them, they take it personally. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you going to get hooked on social media if you don't have a dumb phone?
Right, that's right.
You know, it's important.
Yep. We have an app, American Family Radio. You download the app, takes you about a minute or two. Then you can listen to AFR on your phone or on your iPad or other similar device anywhere you go. You don't have to have one of our radio stations. You just get it off the internet. And people are downloading that by the thousands each month, the American Family Radio app. You going to say, Wesley?
Yes, sir. We're going to do a quick fact check. We looked it up. Robert Kraft has no association with crafting, the Kraft food brand. However, he began most of his finances came for financial.
He made his money how?
From, in 1972, the Robert Kraft that we talked about in the last segment, he founded in 1972 International Forest Products, which is a trader of physical paper commodities.
Okay.
That's primarily where
Boy, was I wrong. I said I was unsure.
You said you were unsure.
Yeah.
I said fact check. That was a bit
Robert. So Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots.
Spelled the same as Kraft Foods.
Yes. He has nothing to do with that, though.
No, sir.
Kraft Foods. He didn't make his money there. I thought he was a... Anyway,
yep.
Should have known better, but I was unsure. But the point of
bringing... Well, you asked us to look it up. I'm going to help you out here. You said, let's check this. Right?
He made his money off Tom Brady.
That's right.
Duly noted.
Duly noted.
That's true. Yeah. I had a pastor named Kraft growing up.
Roy Kraft.
K-R-A-F-T. Yep.
Well, reason he was a part of our news story the last segment was he... is a graduate of Columbia, alumni of Columbia University, and he's very upset with what's going on with the anti-Jewish sentiment being allowed to openly express itself on campus with these protesters. And he's said, I'm not giving any more money to my alma mater,
right?
For now, at least. So that's what that's
after
about.
After those protests get done, we have some anti-terrorism protests that are going to be coming in right behind.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You have the gift of sarcasm. Yeah.
Oh, I do.
I don't know where you get that.
I have to control myself.
You have to dial it back.
I have to purposefully, intentionally dial it back because we live in a world today of double.
We're about to get sarcastic about sarcasm.
Of double standard at its highest.
Right.
That I just can't help myself. So
right.
Let's say that may be my last one for this segment.
Okay. Of sarcasm?
Just for this segment. Yeah,
don't do that.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Spiritual gift.
I'll be back tomorrow.
What's his spiritual gift? Yeah. Sarcasm.
Yeah, but hey, seriously, though, where is the – we're talking about the protest. I guess a protest. Not, they're not riding yet, are they?
It's semi-riding.
Pretty close.
You're talking about on these Columbia and New York University?
Riding? R-I-O-T?
I'm asking the question. Like, for example – Are they breaking stuff? Are they spray painting?
I don't even see pictures and videos of them. They're pro Hamas and they're anti Israel and they're out of control.
There's real little reason for them to do that on campus because the campus, the faculty and the administration agrees with them. So why burn down your house?
Sure. All right. We're gonna have to move on here.
To
some other stories that we were gonna talk about. I mentioned there were three big stories in the news. One is what's going on in New York on these college campuses and their confrontations with the New York Police Department now. The riot police are out. And the open anti-Semitism is in New York, as Ray pointed out, the largest Jewish population in the world is in New York City. And so the other story we talked about was the contentiousness in the Republican Party in particular about whether to fund Ukraine. I don't think there's much contentiousness about funding Israel. But also Wesley's talking about that a lot of people are upset about there's no money to secure the border.
Which was in their first one.
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
And then the FISA. Mm-hmm. What's the, do you understand that?
A little bit. I mean, essentially they're trying to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, let's save that for another day.
Ray, what do you think about that? Are they going to ban TikTok, the Congress?
I don't see how that's going to work. How does the government ban an app and enforce the app? How do they enforce the banning?
They're going to say that those who are for banning TikTok, and I don't use TikTok, and I see people doing their dances, and I think they look ridiculous, okay, sure. Most of them. But, you know, to each his own, all right? So, but at the same time, they're saying, Steve, that the Chinese Communist government takes all the data that you have to put in to register for TikTok, right, and use it is putting that all in a
database
in Beijing.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff people. They can do with the information, but to answer your question of how they can do it, Ray, I don't know, but I
how see they can do what?
How they can ban it? How effectively they could do that? So I know that there's a way that they could probably get Apple and all of the app stores to not carry it. And then have you ever been on your phone and I had a friend who gave me a whole bunch of Beatles songs that I put on my phone. They were on there for about 10 minutes and then they were gone because Apple knew that I hadn't bought them. And so they took them away. And if they can do that with songs, why can't they do that with an app? I'm not sure that it's legal but if they pass a law, I mean, there's ways I think they could.
You'd
do
have
it.
To explain it a lot better than we just did because the government banning a social media platform on its face, you're not going to win that one.
Right. Yeah, the free speech argument, I guess. Anyway, all right, listen, there's a couple of other big stories here. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, I had some trivia that I wanted to
go.
Run past you, if you don't mind.
Go, play. Trivia.
I found this really interesting, and I want to get to these stories, but I found this interesting, and I wanted to get to it before the end of the hour. And Tim, you might know this because you do the National Heritage Tours all the time.
Yes.
But I came across some information about the Founding Fathers that I found absolutely fascinating that I didn't know. Let's listen to Cut 13.
Our founding fathers were not old, contrary to our current government. Every time I ask students to describe the founding fathers in three words, I hear old white men. But on July 4th, 1776, James Monroe was 18 years old. Aaron Burr was 20. John Marshall was 20. Alexander Hamilton was only 21 years old. Betsy Ross was 24. James Madison was 25. Thomas Jefferson was only 33 on July 4th, 1776. Meanwhile, the other day I'm watching the State of the Union, and I feel like I am watching a live simulcast of the world's most expensive nursing home.
She's not wrong.
Was that?
It was a teacher that posted.
Right.
I didn't know that about the founding fathers. That to me is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, you know, the life expectancy in the 1700s would have probably been. You'd have been an old man at 45.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So. She's talking about the our founding fathers were in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's amazing to me. And now we get 20-year-olds on campuses. They're trying to change the country in the wrong direction, but.
Yeah. Right?
Alexander Hamilton was 21 years old. Amen. Not a founding father, a founding kid. I mean,
it's just. I know. Yeah. It's amazing how brilliant these guys were.
I understand that Hamilton was trying to get into the transfer portal to France, but he wasn't accepted.
You know the founding fathers and the birth of America, which we do see and experience a lot of it when we go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then we go to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon. That's our spiritual heritage tours in June and September. See, I slipped into ad mode.
There you go.
Here, so if you want to go with us, if you want to go with us in, well, we have some seats left in September, Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com if you want to go on one of our tours. We'd love to have you. But anyway, back to the point that the founding fathers, yeah, were young men. But that whole circumstance around the birth of America and the way we were able to survive in the war against Great Britain was a miracle of God. God wanted the United States to exist in human history and to have a global impact on spreading the gospel of Christ. So he birthed the U.S.
And also, I wouldn't discount, I mean, the same miracle that got them through the Revolutionary War was the same miracle that enabled them to conceive of a government with checks and balances and the way that we have unique in history, a representative republic that's lasted more than 250 years. That's just astounding. That's an act of God as well, I would submit.
Well, absolutely. And Ray, the human race and human history is just almost totally dominated by kings and tyrants and pharaohs and those kinds of people, right?
You know, I remember when Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, they had his funeral, and his son spoke eloquently about his father's impact. And there was a little line that the son said about his father, Justice Scalia. He said he loved America because he knew how close a call it was that the nation should even be formed. That is to say, we look back and think, well, it was inevitable. Tim, you've already said it's an act of God. But if you just say, humanly speaking, what are the chances a bunch of guys in their late teens and 20s could get together and throw off the power of England, the greatest nation on earth at that time? What are the chances? No, England's favored by about 5 touchdowns in that game, right? There's like no way the colonies could win against England, but the guys, the young guys got together and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor.
Right.
And under God, it came to pass. Scalia was right. It was not a foreordained outcome. It was a close call, and they put it all on the line. That's a story, Tim, the story of the heroism inside the founding of American Republic. We've forgotten. We need to recapture that in this generation.
Yeah, there are many good books on this subject. Stephen McDowell's America's Providential History is excellent. I read David McCullough's 1776.
It's a great book.
Isn't it a great book?
Great book.
I love that book. I'm going to go read it again. You want an appreciation for what we're talking about in terms of the birth of America being God-ordained. Because as Ray said, we had no business beating the Great Britain. We were colonies. You know, we were subjects to the king. We our forefathers, and so they just finally said they had enough of the tyranny. And even so, a lot of the people in the colonies were still loyalist.
Yeah,
that's right.
Still loyalist to the throne. They didn't want to break off from Great Britain.
And the colonies, they weren't a country yet.
No.
I mean, down south, you had the cotton-based economy.
Right.
Up north, you had the industrial-based economy. So it wasn't any sure thing that the colonies were even going to come together and agree on anything.
Yes. Yeah, it's fascinating. Anyway, we can maybe have Stephen on to talk about that. Maybe we should closer to July the 4th. All right, Steve.
Sir.
Steve Jordahl with us. I'm Tim with Wesley and Ray. And if you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. All right, Steve, another big story going on right now is what the Biden administration is trying to force down the throats of the American people regarding transgendered people.
Right.
And sports. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. So what we heard from the Department of Education, I believe, was an amendment to Title IX. And remember, Title IX was the ruling that said that you had to facilitate women's sports to the same degree that you facilitated men's sports. Now, obviously, they don't have to put the same amount of money. Alabama doesn't have to put the billions of dollars.
Well, football's in it. I think as far as scholarships go, you put football aside And because football's got 70 or 80 players, scholarships, okay?
Right.
Put that aside. After football, then everything else has to be equal on your campus in terms of scholarships for males and females in sports.
But, so just
Title IX.
Dateline the 19th. The Biden administration has finalized, I guess it takes effect, is it today or yesterday, new Title IX regulations that codify protections for transgender people. So they're saying that the definition of sex as they define it in Title IX, which historically meant women, now means transgender people as well. So this allows transgender people into the locker rooms and the sports teams. And of
here's what they're going to do. Okay, here's what Biden is trying to do. I hope this will be defeated, but and this is why I can't stand when we have this fourth branch of government, which is these agencies that aren't accountable to anybody, seemingly. They just do what they want. And in this case, the agency is the Department of Education, right?
Yeah, yes.
See, this wasn't passed by Congress.
No.
This is just a rule they adopted on their own. But they're promoted by the Biden administration because the Biden administration is the executive branch and they issue these edicts. Okay, again, not passed by Congress, not voted on by Congress. Anyway, with respect to this, what they're wanting to do, what Biden wants to do, is if you, a college or university, receive any federal money at all, then they're saying you must accept this new regulation that we're putting in place, which says that if transgendered dudes want to play on women's and girls' sports teams and go in their locker rooms and shower with them, you need to allow for that. You need to, or else we're going to cut off your money. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. And probably go after you and try to fine you too. They're trying to say that a male, biological male, should be able to play on all the women's sports teams across America. And as I say, have access to the changing rooms, the showers, the hotel rooms that the girls travel when they have to play away from home. Complete total insanity. It puts many women and girls at risk. And it destroys women's sports, ultimately. And that's what Biden and the Democrats are for. In the name of promoting transgenderism and equal opportunity. That's what they're doing here.
And to state the obvious, it's completely counter to Title IX to begin with.
Right, which is meant to promote women's sports.
Right, and now we're saying that we don't care about women's sports.
That's what they're saying.
We care about...
As long as a guy identifies as a woman, okay, think about it. We all know this is completely and totally insane.
It is.
You can't... If boys start playing girls' sports...
And we've seen this.
Yes, and that's accepted on a broad scale, that will completely and utterly destroy girls at sports. And everybody listening to me, whether you're liberal or conservative, everybody knows this to be true.
Right. Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
You know what's interesting to me is the speed at which this took over. I remember...
Transgenders.
Yeah, I remember several years ago before Bruce Jenner decided to become a woman, and that they were not. No one talked about it. The LGB didn't want anything to do with the T.
That's
but
right.
Once it came out with Bruce Jenner, and then really quickly, everybody that's liberal or whatever came on board. It reminds me of how quickly everybody on the left decided that the Palestinian conflict was something that they had to go to war over. This is a generation that doesn't really have convictions, but they want to participate in the latest thing, and transgenderism is part of that. They don't really believe in it. They just want to fight something.
Hey, I want to give kudos to CBS broadcaster Tim Brando. I read a tweet by him this morning. He says, quote, "Our education secretary has now basically stated that women's locker room privacy is a thing of the past. Another lie from Biden and his administration on what Title IX was and should be all about. This in the aftermath of one of the greatest seasons in women's college basketball history. It's one thing to have men stealing titles from women in individual sports, but when it starts affecting team sports like hoops, then what? So he says, this isn't red states versus blue. It's right versus wrong. Biological men have no business competing against women. And he says some other things there,
mic
too.
Drop.
Yeah. But that's Tim Brando. And I think he still anchors CBS Saturday afternoon college football. Yep. I mean, he's a big name in the world of college broadcasting. And this is very bold on his. And then people might say, well, I mean, CBS could fire him for this. Now, I don't think they will. He's been around a long time, Ray. But kudos
to Tim Brando. This is a gutsy thing.
Yeah.
Tim Brando's a terrific broadcaster,
yeah.
And he's been around for decades. And most of the guys in that position, let's be honest, I think there are a lot of people in sports broadcasting who agree with Tim,
yes.
But dare not yes. say it out loud.
Right.
He probably has enough seniority.
Yes, he does. Yeah,
he can get away with doing it.
Yeah, he's lived his career for the most part. I mean,
we'll see.
Right? He's made his money. So, but still, good for him. He ends by saying, "When will more high profile women, besides Riley Gaines and Sage Steele, speak up and say enough of this?"
That's right.
Now, the good news is the NAIA, which is the Association of Small Colleges, they spoke clearly last week. They said, "We're not having it."
Yeah.
Women will play women's sports and men will play men's sports, and that's the end of the discussion. Sure. And they voted like unanimously, the small colleges.
My alma mater is an NAIA school.
Yeah, well, good for them. Yeah, so we'll see what the NCAA has to say about this. But Biden and his cronies are trying to jam this down the throats of colleges and universities across America. And it's complete. These are the people who believe in science now.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
They believed in women's rights.
Yeah, they were women's rights in science, but they don't know. But they're going to say that a man can be a woman if he feels that way on that particular day.
Instead of in their opinion,
lunacy.
Trying to, yeah,
lunacy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we're fighting here in this country. All right. Well, listen, Steve, we only got a minute to go.
Yeah. Say this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Elon Musk says that we're going to have AI that's smarter than humans by 2025. There's an article in the Daily Mail that gives a timeline of how that could happen. But basically, they're saying that AI is going to take over the world in a year. So you have a year, folks, to save up all the food.
Actually, if Biden's around, I hope AI does control it. Take over the world. I think that'd be a good thing. They can't be any dumber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This administration. So, anyway, listen, in all seriousness, our country's, we got a lot of problems, and we need God's help. Because, listen, the worldview that is represented by these God haters, they want to completely change our nation and our country fundamentally. And I just think about our children and our grandchildren and our posterity, and we want them to enjoy the American way of life that we've all come to love and appreciate. And you can't have the blessings of God and then shake your fist at God.
Yep.
Okay? And a lot of Americans are just shaking their fist at God. And we need the remnant of believers to stand firm. Does that make sense?
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir, it does.
Will that preach, Ray?
Preach. Preach it, Tim.
All right. I'll preach it because I can't sing it, evidently. Nobody wants to listen to me sing. I'll just go to my car and sing.
We still got to figure out who we're going to blame for this.
Yeah, it's genetics. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great afternoon. Keep listening to American Family Radio.